Okay, excellent. So, is there anything you want to feedback from last time? Think last time we sort of finished off with an exercise, but I didn't get a chance to feedback or anything. So, if there's anything you want to share on that, feel free, or anything you want to ask.
I do. Why? Okay. Explain why. I mean, I kind of have an idea of why we go to the, what's it called? Satan's Treasury Room or whatever it's called. But why do, what, can you further expound on why we do that? Why that's necessary?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Satan's trophy room is the place where he stores that which he's robbed from the church, from our lives, particularly maybe our generational line and our heritage. Also, where people's lives are that have not yet made that step of following Jesus, so therefore they are trophies that he has there. Also, there are mantles there that have been robbed from the church as because of people falling into sin or falling into error or things like that. And so we, when you reach a certain level of authority, then you have access to within your spheres administer the kingdom to bring restoration of those things into your own life, also, into the spheres that you operate in, maybe those that you're seeking for salvation for. It's just part of the process, really, that we can engage there, and
All right.
if we're directed, some of it is, being directed by God, to be able to engage in that. And I've found, a number of people have found things that have been stolen from them generationally in their heritage, land and property, and spiritually also things that should have belonged to them, but because the enemy had robbed from their generational line, that had never been passed on to them. And I believe that in the generation that's going to take up the mandate to rule, then they can be a release of all that previous generations multiplied into this one to see a multiplication of that released. And so we can go there and find out what has been stolen or robbed. We can go there and see, and therefore carry an authorization to release that from there. And particularly if people's lives are there, some of it we may get insight into why. And sometimes you may get insight there in the courts of why, and you can potentially deal with some of that. But generally, it's to do with your own generational line and the spheres of influence so that you can get back what's robbed from you. We used to sing a song years ago, an old sort of gospel-y song. I went to the enemy's camp and I got back what was stolen from me. And that's it. What has been stolen for us by the enemy that the enemy brags over and parades as a trophy that we need to get back? And if we don't know what it is, then that's a place we can go to get it restored. I think that's the basic gist of it. So, yeah.
So, do you think that when you said there's people's lives are there, do you think that you can, if they are part of your family, that you can go there and see what's going on as to why they're there? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I think you can certainly see that they are paraded as trophies. When I went into a place in the realm of the mountain of God, where in the temple where the train of his robe fills the temple, and I went with him. And I kept seeing flashes of light that came onto the train of his robe, and I asked him what it was, and it was like they were like diamonds appearing, shining. And he said, every time there's a flash and a restoration of those things into my robe, that is a saved soul that's been saved. And so they get taken out of Satan's trophy room, and then they get displayed in splendor on the train of his robe. And it was amazing just to see the flashes of of restoration of these precious stones, if you like, onto his robe. And they're there. And so if they're there, then, and if they're within our sphere, I think there's things where we can take authority over it. And I often then use the court system to identify what the enemy has used to blind people by standing in identification for them. And then I can stand against that blindness, the confusion that's been put over people so that they can't receive the gospel good news. And often I would then go to my mountain and I would then pray and release forgiveness over them, particularly at night. And I know a lot of people who are really into sort of evangelism and real have a heart for seeing those things, they would pray at night, release forgiveness over those people they've been praying for, and the angels can be working all night in their lives because there's no opportunity for future sin. Now, it doesn't mean that we can force people into salvation, but we can do whatever we can to prepare their lives so that blindness can be removed from them and they can come into the fullness of that revelation. And so there are different things we can do. And I think, seeing them there, you get a sense of urgency or you get moved to act. And I think it's sort of, and how dare Satan have those people that belong in the kingdom there? And there's a sense of, how dare those mantles be robbed? And although when I first went, I felt a heavy sense of sadness, it soon began to rise up in my spirit as a sense of indignation of how dare he? And, I need to administer the kingdom to see those things changed and removed and restored and made whole and different things. So that's how it sort of functioned for me when I started to gain access there.
Do you think that it also relates to individuals who they have come to know the Lord, like when they were younger, but they've gone away from God? Do you think it relates to them as well?
Yeah, because I think though, sort of people who have been backslidden or are not walking in their faith, well, the enemy uses that as a testimony, which is a negative testimony. And I think we need to see those people restored and recalled, and drawn back. And again, going through the similar processes of the way the enemy operates is a legalist, so he uses legal rights. And so we remove those legal rights, and then God has access to start working. Angels begin to work in people's lives, preparing circumstances, preparing people to come across their path, seeds that are sown, stepping stones really of drawing people back.
So even if they're an adult, do you think we have the legal right to break that, to cut his legal right off? I mean, is that because they have their own?
Well, I think.
How does that work?
We can stand in identificational repentance for anyone that's within our sphere of influence.
Okay.
So if they're in our family, then even though they may be adults, they're still part of our covenant family, if you like, and we have access to stand on their behalf. Obviously, they have free will, but we want to remove every obstacle from them exercising that free will to choose to follow Jesus. We may well see, when we go particularly into the courts, you begin to see mindsets or blockages or particularly hurts that have come through the church, previous experiences of Christians, sometimes through abuse situations, that just cloud their mind to God when it came through people and it came through a structure or an institution that effectively pollute people's minds towards a loving God. Because they are seeing, religious institutions, the whole thing of God being a legalist and to punish them, and that whole wrong viewpoint of God, which Satan promotes profusely, we can see that some of those things are the hindrances. And as we deal with those things judicially, then you find the Holy Spirit is able to draw people. Because it says in Romans, it's the kindness of God that draws people to repentance. It's not the wrath, because the wrath of God has already been poured out on the cross. You know, so it's the kindness of God, and we need to point people to God's love and his acceptance and his affirmation of them to draw them back into their destiny and the relationship. So, yeah. Yeah, that's sort of how that might work in different circumstances.
Thanks.
Okay.
And, Mike, what court would you go to in regards to the salvation? I know there's many courts. I don't know all of them.
Yeah. Basically, you'd use the mobile court of accusation. And, of course, you can convene that court and command the accuser's stand, so long as you've got legal authority, so long as they're within your spheres. You can go and convene that court. You can command to hear the accusers, because you can stand in identification for people. It works obviously better for yourself, in a sense, because you can go through the whole process yourself. But we're in our priestly function. We get the right to access, just as the high priest went before the ark once a year to bring the atonement. Yeah, we also get access to stand before the presence of God on behalf of others. You know, it's just preparing, really. It's just enabling us. You know, if people would pray and pray and pray and pray and ask God to come and save somebody, but actually we get to participate in the process once we understand that we have authority in the heavens. You know, and particularly if it is a family member, or if it's a street that you live in that you've been given authority over, or different areas. Obviously, you have to operate in judicial authority. You can't just do it for anybody unless God specifically directs you or gives you a mandate to do so. If he gives you a mandate, you can do anything. You know, and so sometimes you go before the ark and you get drawn to a person, or you feel your heart drawn towards somebody that you've met, or somebody that God puts on your heart. Then you can begin to minister into that. You know, and you know what we get to do there, we can see, you know, an outworking of it here. Often we've never done it there in heaven first, so we've been doing a lot of going to and fro, but without going up and down. And the up and down is the thing that goes first before the to and fro. We've just never been taught that, so we've done a lot of going to and fro all over the place trying to do things in this realm. Now we've got greater revelation, we need to do a lot more going up and down, and the to and froing comes out of going up and down. We bring down that which we've done there so we can administer it to the earth. So, yeah. Okie dokie. Anything else? Anyone else want to ask something? Feel free.
I have a practical question that obviously I know the answer to it already, but as far as doing activations and going into the realm of heaven, I seem to recall Ian Clayton saying that you always do that in a standing position. You always go standing. Obviously, when we do that, we're sitting. I always mute my camera because I always stand up when we start the activation.
Okay.
And that's just my personal preference. Yeah. Obviously, you don't think that, or maybe I misremember what Ian said, but what are your thoughts on
sure.
that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the key is what you're engaging your spirit to do. And when you're practicing and you're learning to engage your body as part of the process of stepping in, stepping out, then it helps to step in physically as a sign that you are stepping in. And it, it's very much like using an experience like a doorway. You know, Ian talks a lot about, okay, if you want to engage in a door, go and look at a door, stand in the doorway, step over it. Now, all that stuff is to help us to engage. So we physically engage so that everything is working together. But the reality is, it's a spiritual activity. So my physical body isn't going unless I get trans-relocated there. So for me, I find it's easier to relax. And I know when I'm looking to activate the eyes of my heart or spirit, it's easier to relax. And when you close your eyes, you know, you're engaging different brain waves, your alpha waves, which are a slower pace to relax. You know, when you look to engage your imagination, blood pumps to the right side of your brain when you relax. You know, so I don't think it's we need to be a legalistic thing with it. If it works for you and you feel that's a good thing to do and that's great, then go for it. I mean, there's no rights or wrongs. You know, it's my spirit that's stepping in, so I'm allowing my spirit to step in through the door into the realm of heaven. And so for me, I find it easier to relax and do that. You know, I can do that lying in my bed. I can do it driving. You know, I can do it anywhere. Yeah, because I've learned how to do it. In learning how to do it, sometimes exercises of standing, stepping in help. Because it's that physical step that we do in the natural realm that then enables us, you know, we're taking a step of faith, if you like. But when it comes to it, once you've practiced, you know, I think you can step in anyway. As you learn, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've done all the stepping in exercises, and sometimes here, where I get people to stand up and step in. You know, when we've, you know, when I'm working with a group who are more advanced and have done a lot of that, then generally we just by faith engage our spirit and step in. So it works, whichever way, really. Is that okay?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I knew the answer.
Yeah, sure.
I knew you weren't. We obviously sit down and do it, so.
Yeah, but you know, it's whatever works for you. You know, that's the thing. If it works for you and you want to stand and that helps you to picture standing in the realm. Because when I might be sitting down, but my spirit's not sitting down when I walk into heaven. My spirit, being a light being, you know, often we see our spirit from residual memory of what we look like here, but we don't actually look like that in the realm of the spirit, because our spirit is light, you know. But because our spirit is connected to our memory and communicates to us in thought or picture within our mind, then it helps our mind to engage something that it's familiar with. And so we develop those pathways. And that's why looking at a picture of a door or standing in a door helps a familiarity of engagement. Same as, like, you know, when Ian was looking at the River of Life, he went and got, you know, some snorkel and a goggles and went and stood in a river. I personally just never needed to do any of that. I found my spirit was very happy to engage without that. But for some people, they need that visual stimulus to stir action that then you can use as the doorway to step into it. If you've developed your imagination so that you can picture things easier, then you can just use the imagination as a doorway. You know, it's very flexible and fluid, really. I mean, the key is that we engage and move into that realm, you know.
So, right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Paula. Yeah. Hi, Paula. Do you want to share something? I think you need to unmute yourself if you do.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, can, yeah.
Okay. This is another court question. I didn't realize there were so many courts. I just saw a diagram of all the courts.
Yep.
And so I was what is the protocol? How do you know which court to go to for what you want?
You learn the protocol, basically. What I found was the mobile court was the first court I engaged with. That basically comes and manifests over us, so we can engage that wherever we want. Within the realm of the Kingdom of God, when you're operating from your mountain, you get access to the Court of Angels and the Court of War, because that's to do with strategy and assignment of angelic orders of angels to what you're ruling your throne for. So that's very much according to lordship. And when you're operating in your normal life, you're operating, you know, from a mountain that has seven mountains, and you begin to administer those, you get access to the Court of Angels and you get access to the Court of War. And that gives you basically what you need to get strategies and authorizations, use the mandates that you've given there to outwork things. That works. But once you start operating in a higher level of authority and kingship, and you get to operate within the realm of the Kingdom of Heaven rather than just in the Kingdom of God, then you get access to other courts, and they give you access to the Court of the Chancellors and the Court of Scribes and the Court of Kings and the Court of the Upright. And that's more about exercising judicial authority in operating in kingship. You know, so we get charge of his house in lordship. You know, Zechariah 3, 6 and 7, there's a charge of his house. So we get to operate our mountain, our house, and any spheres of authority that are related to church, you know, in that sort of basic thing. But once you start operating as benches of three, when you start operating maybe as a church bench of three or a regional bench of three, you get invested with a higher level of authority, and you begin to operate on the mountain, and you start operating in kingship. You know, a lord operates under the authority of a king, and Jesus is king, so we administer his decrees, if you like. Once we begin to become in charge of the courts, as it says in Zechariah 3, then we begin to then administer that which comes out of the desires of our heart from the destiny that we have, and particularly if we're given mandates to do things which need authorization, then you need to access the Court of Chancellors for authorization. You know, ultimately, the angels that are there as chancellors, we should be looking to replace them, because we should be operating in chancellorship once we get kingship in way. And so, you know, I've seen some of that in which, you know, we will get to be able to sit as chancellors, and we can operate in that chancellorship in the realm of heaven. In the Court of Kings, I found that I go and sit at a bench. I don't go and present something at a bench. I go and sit at a bench, and I begin to release from my spirit that which is aligned with my destiny, which I need to release as judicial or legislative. You know, I need to legislate things. So I need to establish legislative procedure to bring things into law. And wisdom taught me how to do that. She took me to the Court of Kings. And then once I'd had legislated something and it was put on a scroll, then she took me to the Court of Chancellors. And I had that. I presented it and I got it sealed and authorized by the chancellors. And then she took me to the Court of Scribes, and the Court of Scribes, they scribed it onto a scroll, and it was put into record. You know, and then I went to the Court of Angels, and I got angelic assignment according to what I'd done. You know, so there was a whole process and protocol to go through. Wisdom taught me, because wisdom is there to help us rule, and she gives us wisdom to rule. You know, in Proverbs 8, it talks about help kings, princes, and nobles rule. And so she will help us rule in the different levels of rulership. Now, ultimately, we should be able to operate as sons who stand in the presence of a higher realm of courts, and therefore we get to birth things. You know, within every fiber of our being, if you like, we're created in the image of God. And in the image of God, we carry things that we can release creatively. Hence, we carry galaxies within our scroll, but within our whole being, and we can release those things when we operate in that level. You know, I don't think there are too many people operating as sons at the moment in the full manifestation of the revealing of the sons of God. But I think people are learning. I know I've birthed some things, added into the galaxies and stuff, and because God has just shown me, but I don't feel drawn to do that particularly very often, because I'm learning other protocols of kingship and lordship, and so I focus mostly on learning how to administer the kingdom in the level that I'm operating now, although I do get to do some fun things because God takes me and wisdom takes me and gives me forerunner of experiences so I can explain those things to other people who may get them as well. So that's how I learned to do it. I think I went through this whole process of a mandate, and I think Peter Honselet posted it on Facebook, where they transcribed, you know, my sort of daily process of getting a mandate and different courts that I might access and go to, which is just a sort of a guideline, if you like. But most of all, we need to be led by our spirit. And, you know, as we engage around the ark, we step into his presence and we become in the center of his will and being, and that enables us to begin to see from that perspective, and that makes a huge difference of being in his name, in his will, in the center, looking out rather than trying to look in, you know, because we can manifest between the cherubim. Because actually we go to take Satan's place as a covering cherub, and that is our role, to be able to now look into the things of God, but we get to stand there in him. Satan was never able, as Lucifer, to stand in him, whereas we are in him, which is an awesome place. We just have to learn more to develop being in him, looking out from him, looking out from the different perspectives of the four faces of God. Great. I mean, it's I love spending time there, and I spend a lot more time there than I ever did before. You know, so if that helps. Okay. Anyone else got anything? If not, we can go and do an exercise.
I just had a question real quick. Mike?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I had a question real quick. Yeah. In having heavenly encounters, whenever I was talking to Ian about sometimes stuff I would see, there were certain things where I would ask him more as a confirmation if what I was seeing was, say, real, just because it's, you know, kind of like sometimes wondering if you're really seeing it or if it's just you. And on some of the things, he would say that certain things don't mean something to everyone. They just mean something to you from the Lord. Yep. And then there were certain things where I would, like, go into a room and describe it, and halfway through he would describe the rest, and it was a place.
Yep.
And so I'm curious on just, like, for you, how, if you want to talk to somebody to find out, like, you see something and you're curious about what it means and God doesn't tell you, for you, is it more about waiting until he tells you what it is, or utilizing the fact that you might have somebody that you could ask about it that would have revelation? Because, like, a couple of months ago, I was in the wine room and I saw something I had never seen there before, and my immediate inclination was that I wanted to talk to somebody who had been there to try to see if they had also seen it, because I want to know what it was, and I wasn't sure. And so,
yeah, I mean, what I would tend to do, I would always tend to try and point people back to God and to take the experience back and meditate around it, look for deeper revelation from it. I do agree. A lot of the encounters that we have are very symbolic and unique to us because they speak to us. And even in a similar thing, we go into the River of Life, or we may go into the Garden of God, how it appears to us and how we engage with it is very tailored and tuned to who we are and how we would receive revelation. There are obviously some places that are pretty much as they are in terms of the throne room and different things, but what we see there and how we see things and the colors and different things may have significance for us. And I found that when I first had the encounters, I was very much sort of caught up with Jesus and the very focus, and I didn't necessarily look at what he was wearing or what colors he had, or you know, and but I've subsequently learned to be more observant and to pick up more of a flow of what is it, because that helps me see things and experience things. But I've found if I take back those things before, like a couple of Sundays ago, I had an encounter where I was taken up to outside of the court of councils of the fathers, and I wasn't allowed to go in, and I was standing outside thinking, well, why am I outside, you know, what's going on? But I was just looking around, okay, this is, I'm familiarized myself with this place, and but I didn't get anything there and then of why I couldn't go in until then I sort of came back with that meditation, because I tend to journal everything, you know, I write everything down you know, as best I can, and then I went and I looked in my journal, and it was like, okay, this is where I went on Sunday. I'm just going to go now and come before God. And I sometimes do that in the garden of my heart, and I just go and hang out and talk to him, and I share those things. You know, what was the significance of going? Why couldn't I go in? I've been to the other courts, you know, and I asked him, and I had revelation, which then gives me information then for the future. If I need to do anything as a result of that, well, I can't go in there because of this. You can deal with that. Okay, I'll deal with it. Then it gives me access. Or maybe it's just it sometimes you just get protocol revealed and revelation that helps in the future to engage the next time. So I don't think it's wrong to ask for confirmation or encouragement from somebody. But as we sort of mature into sonship, you know, a lot of it comes out of the desires that are birthed in our heart and our scroll, and so we just go with the flow, really, of it, and don't be too concerned. You know, it's like Jesus said, you know, if you ask the Father for a fish, you know, he's not going to give you a snake, or, you know, if you ask him for some bread, he's not going to give you a stone. So when we come into this place, we just need to feel secure that what we see, you know, we can get revelation of. If it's important, then we'll be drawn to get that revelation. If it's just something which is, hey, something was going on there, I saw it, and it's not important, then we won't feel particularly drawn. And I think it's allowing our spirit to draw us to the detail that matters and to just ignore the detail that doesn't, you know. And I feel that there's a lot of I have a lot of symbolic understanding of things because I've spent a lot of time looking at it and meditating around it and doing it. Some people, that's part of their gifting, and they can interpret things. You know, sometimes it's like, yeah, you see other things that you might not be sure of. My personal encouragement is, first of all, to go back to God, and if you don't get any breakthrough there, then maybe look to ask somebody, because I think most of the time it flows out of our relationship with him, and that's what we're looking to build, so that we can be confident to go back and to find out and to converse with him and to get revelation from him. And wisdom is another place that I sometimes ask things, you know, because wisdom has taken me to places and shown me protocol and function. Then if there's things about protocol and function, I ask. Sometimes I ask the angel that's around my throne and my mountain, you know, about releasing protocol and doing things. Sometimes I ask there, you know. But if it's important, you know, God will reveal it to you in one way or another, because he's not keeping us in the dark. But he does actually conceal things from us so that we search them out. You know, it's the glory of God to hide a thing, and it's the glory of kings to search them out. And he does that because he wants to see the desires of our heart to pursue. Because in our pursuit, relationship deepens. You know, if it all came easy, we wouldn't need and be dependent on our relationship with God. It would be all easy. And God always wants us to be dependent. And even when we become sons, we're doing it because we're in him and we're connected to him. And so we're seeing what the Father's doing as a son, which releases and authorizes us to do things. But it's all in relationship. Everything's about relationship in the kingdom, you know. And although we talk about judicial things and we talk about protocols, and they can seem very sort of not relational, they're still relational because they're flowing out of our relationship with him. And we always need to be connected relationally to ensure that those things are flowing and are life, you know. So, I mean, is that helpful?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right, okay. Okay, so do you wanna go and do something? I've sort of been authorized to take some groups to some places I've not taken people before, and so I would like to, if you're up for it, take you to the judgment seat, and to take your scroll before the fire of God, and to take you to the fire stones, over the river of God, river of fire, because they will really help you engage in different levels of revelation going forward, and they will become trading floors to be able to release that revelation from a reflection of those stones and those colors outwards, which is what Satan didn't do by standing there and trading the information and the revelation of those stones for position for himself rather than releasing them out into creation. So that might be a good place for us to go. Okay. So we'll just engage with the presence of God first, and then we can flow on from there. So I just encourage you again just to close your eyes and just begin to fix your thoughts on him and just relax. So with an open heaven over us, again, we can just step into the realm of heaven, step through the open door, and just meet with Jesus who's standing there with us, and just allow Jesus to take us by the hand and lead us on this journey to these places as he takes us just through the dimensions and the veils that are operating. And as we just begin to think about the ark, he takes us through the veils and comes around the ark of his presence. And as we just begin to look into the presence of God, we take our place to look into God, to look into his faces, to stand in his presence there, and just begin to come from the perspective of his name and being in his name. So the yod, the hey, the vav, and the hey, but we are the shin in the middle in him. So just spend some time there. Just open your hearts up to receive that revelation of who you are in him. Oh. As you just center yourselves around him, just allow him now to take you by the hand and lead you according to the destiny and the desires of your heart. And just take you through the door that will take us into the realm of heaven. And you can come before the throne of grace. Just draw near to him. At the throne of grace, you can unburden yourself. You can seek for the deepest needs that you have at the moment in your life. Just make sure that you come to that place of peace, a place of rest in him. May take you onto his lap, onto that throne of grace, feel his heartbeat, feel his pleasure of your presence. Just sense the security that you have in him. There is no shame, guilt, or condemnation. Everything has been dealt with on the cross. You come through the cross to that place of peace and rest in him. Just sense the joy, the acceptance, the affirmation of who you are in him, your destiny in him. Now, standing by the throne is the spirit of the fear of God. He has with him a scroll, the scroll of your life. Just take that scroll, sealed, front and back, and come before the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is worthy to undo the scrolls. Now you can walk towards. It's like entering into the lion's mouth, taking your scroll, step into the darkness, and walk towards the light. And as you stand with your scroll before the fire of God's presence, you have no fear, but a sense of awe as you bring your scroll, the eyes of the consuming fire of God's presence look out to undo the seals, that the scroll of your life is open before the eyes of him who knows all in all. Just present the front side of the scroll to him. As you see the gold, silver, precious stones, those events in your life where he has special pleasure, where you were surrendered and fully operating according to his will and purpose, just sense the pleasure that he has. Now, just let your heart release the wood, hay, and stubble, all those things that were done out of the wrong motives or in your own strength. Just bring them before him. No condemnation. Just allow the fire from his eyes to consume the wood, the hay, the stubble, to restore your scroll, every memory purge with fire. Lest yet your heart be touched with the fire of God's presence. Now just allow the scroll to be turned, and on the reverse side of the scroll is all the regrets, every missed opportunity, every time you weren't able to hear or didn't hear and were obedient to what God was showing you. Let every regret that's there just be consumed by the fire of God. Just let any memories come to you, anything that you're shown, just let the consuming fire of God surround that scroll, surround your heart. Embrace it. Every missed opportunity just be purged from your scroll, and you get a fresh beginning, a fresh start to align your destiny with the scroll of your life. Just feel your heart purified and refined by fire. Just feel your heart just receive the fire of God's presence. But feel his pleasure, feel his desires burning within your heart, passion for him, passion for his will and purpose for you, passion for your destiny. Just allow that passion to form within your heart. Now just begin to back out of that place. Come back out through the darkness and just come before the lion and feel the freedom and the expanse of heaven, the new horizons. Just the increase in the possibilities, the capacity that you have for the purposes of God, for the will of God for you. As you begin to sense that, just feel the freedom. Now just allow again, allow Jesus to take you by the hand now. He's going to take you through another doorway, come before the river of fire? And the firestones of God. Sense that you are enveloped with the fire of God's presence. Your heart passionate, burning. You can stand in the river of fire without fear. Just feel the heat that's flowing. Just feel the passion, the zeal that's flowing from the throne of God as the fire of God cascades down in this river. Now you see the stones of fire, the fire stones, the steps ascending up to the throne of God above. Just take a step. As you look at the steps, look at the stones, look at the nature, the colors. You can see into the very fabric of the stone and see that which was within its structure. And as you step on that stone, feel joined to love. The first step is the step of love. Just feel completely at one with love. Let it touch every particle, fiber of your being. Just let love consume you. Feel the truth and the true nature of love, of the character of God, the very nature of God being love. And feel the revelation of the law of love. There is a deeper revelation on this step of the law of love, the law of God. Feel it. Sense it. It's going to impart revelation, deep calling to deep into the depths of your spirit, an impartation of the law of God, the law of love. And you may feel you want to stay on one particular step. You may feel you want to step on each step. Just feel to be led by your spirit as your spirit leads you. If you can take a step onto the second step, joy, and just sense joy bursting in every atom, in every particle. Just let joy just burst, the revelation of the joy of God, that you enter in, you joined with joy. Now just let the revelation of the testimonies of God go deep into your spirit. A deeper revelation of the testimonies of God. Just let them touch your spirit. Now, if you want to take another step, you can step onto the step of peace, the firestone of peace, and let peace become part of you, let you become a part of peace, that you're joined to peace, that peace is a foundational stone in your life. Let the color of peace be absorbed into your very being as a revelation of peace. Let it just touch you like never before. And as you're there, being peace, let the ways of God be revealed to you at a deeper level. Revelation of the ways of God, that His ways will become your ways. Deeper revelation. Just let your spirit absorb it. You've experienced the stones of the Father's DNA, love, joy, and peace. Just take a step into patience, and again, just allow yourself to become patience, a full, deeper revelation of what it means to carry the attitude of the Father's heart, the attitude of the Son's heart, the attitude of the Spirit's heart. Let patience just touch you. And as you're standing in patience, let the precepts of God be revealed to you and to your spirit. Just let them touch you, the precepts of God. Embrace them, receive them, and let them be hidden within your heart. Now you can take a step onto the step of goodness, taking you into a higher level of revelation of the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, who you are as the goodness of God, expressing the goodness of God from the fruit that comes out of your spirit. Just let your spirit take on the characteristics of goodness. Receive them at a deeper level. As you're standing there in the goodness of God, allow the commandments of God, that which is His very heart and nature, and how you release the commandments of God, let them touch your spirit. revelation of the commandments of God and how you would release the commandments of God. Just let them touch you. Now just take a step onto the kindness of God. Let kindness just course through you. The very compassion of God that moves him. Feel that kindness, the kindness that draws people to him. Let that kindness be a fruit of your spirit that would draw people to you, because they see God's kindness flowing from you. As you stand there, being kindness, just allow the statutes of God to be placed within your spirit. Receive God's statutes. Deeper revelation of his nature and deeper revelation of his functions. Let the statute of God be replaced there. As you receive this DNA of Jesus, patience, goodness, and kindness, the life of Jesus expressed on earth as it was in heaven, in his ministry to people, in his healing, in his miracles, expression, patience, goodness, and kindness. Now just take a step onto faithfulness and allow what it is to be faithful, God's faithfulness, to impact you, to touch your spirit. Just be joined to that step. Let it flow through you. As you stand in faithfulness, who you are as a faithful servant, faithful as a Lord, faithful as a King, faithful as a Son, allow his judgments and God's judgments that flow through his faithfulness. Just let the judgments of God and revelation of the judgments of God just be imparted to your spirit. Take a step onto the gentleness, that firestone of gentleness. Let the color flow into you, absorb its nature, become one with it, that you are gentle and humble in heart, at rest and at peace with him, yoked to him, and allowing that yoke to rest upon you. Gentleness, knowing the mighty strength of who you are as a son of God, and the power and authority of a son surrendered in gentleness to him. And just allow his ordinances and revelation of his ordinances and how he administers his kingdom and the revelation of that administration, just allow it to be imparted to your spirit. The frequency, the sound, the fragrance of it imparted to your spirit. Now just take a step onto the step of self-control. Self completely surrendered to control of your spirit and his spirit, at one with him, becoming one, joined to him, connected to these firestones. As you've surrendered and given yourself, he gives himself to you. Just feel what it is to be completely selfless. completely controlled, directed, guided by the Spirit. And just allow revelation of His wonders, the wonders of God, the wonders beyond eternity, the wonders, let the wonders of God be imparted to your spirit. The colors, the fragrances, the frequencies, the formulas, the mathematics of the wonders of God, of creation, of the order of birthing, the wonders, let them be imparted to your spirit. Now, as you've taken that last step, you can see the throne of God before you. You may want to bow down. You just allow your spirit to direct you. You may not even want to look, but the throne of God is before you. And going off to the right-hand side of His throne, there are many thrones going off into the distance. Now just walk with Jesus as He walks you along those thrones. You may see people on those thrones. As you walk along, you will come to a throne that you will know is yours. Your name, the new name that you've been given, you'll recognize that throne as a faithful son. And as He shows you your throne, be seated with Him in heavenly places. And as soon as you're seated, you find yourself next to Him. Reach up with your left hand and hold His right hand as He releases the authority and power to rule as His Son, connected to His throne through you. Sense the authority that you have. Seated with Him, joined to His throne, administering His law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, ordinances, and wonders in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Totally at one. Having the revelation, carrying that knowledge of God from the firestones within you to release from you, from your heavenly perspective, into your earthly sphere. Now just begin to step back through the veil into this realm, carrying with you the testimony of your experiences within your spirit as your doorway to re-engage the firestones, your throne, and the fire of His presence. Okay. All right. Well, obviously there was quite a lot there, and you know, I'd encourage you to go back and to go onto those stones, you know, get deeper revelation of those things. Those are the stones of ascension that take you up to the throne of God. They are stages in our life where we embrace the nine stones that covered the throne, and we bring our three stones to make 12 to form government between heaven and earth. You can get revelation of the nine things that I talked about there, law, testimonies, ways, from Psalm 119, the first 40 verses. I was given revelation of that on one of my first encounters in heaven, and they've been something that I've meditated around, and I've just learned to engage them on the firestones. There's an awesome amount of revelation, and as you apply those, and there are certain words like walk, observe, keep, cling, look, behold, seek, learn, understand, counsel, speak, meditate, desire, delight, regard, all according to those firestones. As you apply those things and those attitudes of heart to them, it releases things like blessing, establishment, righteousness, thankfulness, purity, abundance, blamelessness, and being revived and living in life. You know, there's an amazing amount of stuff around that. So I'd encourage you to go back and experience that over and over. You know, see your scroll as something now that you can re-engage with your scroll of destiny and get from a fresh perspective. Wood, hay, stubble gone, and gold, silver, and precious stones. So you've got much more of that to be able to impart as you outwork your destiny and your scroll comes into alignment with it. So, there we go. Okay. Yeah.
That totally wrecked me. I mean, I am wrecked.
I was wrecked when I went there first time.
I'm so wrecked.
Yeah. You know, but you know, it's just a starting point, and you know, the deep things will come out of that for you, and you know. Okay. Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Right. Okay, well, we'll